Leah Remini has left the Church of Scientology, which is quite an ordeal, as anyone knows these days, I think. And so I thought, you know, this, I wouldn't normally read a book by Leah Remini, but I thought, you know, first of all, the title's Troublemaker, and she is a troublemaker. She's always in the middle of crap wherever she goes. She's very outspoken. But she showed some real balls by leaving the Church of Scientology.
Oh, yeah, sure. Anybody does, yeah.
And this girl gave more money to this church and was a real player in their celebrity center, which is what they do. They kiss these celebrities' asses to no end. I mean, they treat them in a manner no church treats anyone like these people are treated. But they want it to come out the other end. They want those big fat checks, and they get them. I mean, I don't know. I wonder what Tom Cruise has given the Church of Scientology.
Well, you'd love to know.
I would love to know.
I know. I would, too. I'd love to know.
And I know that I probably never will.
No, you'll never know. It's millions, that's for sure. God, does he love that role. Oh, God, does he love that role. He loves the whole Navy uniform bullshit. He loves
Isn't that the funniest part of Scientology, how they treat these Sea Org people like they're really a military branch or something?
I know.
You're a church, and you bought the uniforms, and that's all there is to it. Any kind of seaworthy operation.
I know. They act like they could captain some big aircraft carrier and, you know, launch a million jets off its decks and dock the fucker on a, you know, a two-mile dock they got to pull up to. Give me a break. They couldn't steer a fucking tugboat if their life depended on it. Give me a break.
Oh, my God.
It would be everything they could do to handle a little aluminum boat with a fucking Evinrude on the back of it. A 20-horsepower Evinrude belching oil. Get the fuck out of here before we hit you with a baseball bat. Get the fuck out. But isn't that something? Yeah, okay, well, yeah, they love that. They love the uniform. Boy, oh, boy, they love the uniform. And God, I'm so amazed. Cruz is just, he's never going to be embarrassed by this. He's never going to be embarrassed by his affiliation with Scientology. And again, he's always, remember with Diane Sawyer, oh, I never get a cold, I never get sick, you know, thanks to the E-meter and what Scientology does, and it clears all the toxins from your blood. And you know that the second that fucker had the flu, he hid out for a couple of weeks. Don't tell anybody I'm sicker than shit.
Oh, yeah.
God,
if he gets sick, you'll never see him.
Yeah. If people find out, I'll be fucked.
Well, anyway, Leah Remini, you know, for example, just to tell you what this church is like.
Yeah.
She, at some point, she's being pressured, as they all are pressured, to reveal some transgression she's committed against the church.
Yeah.
Just because they want to have it on their records and they want to, you know, get it out of her. And so she says, well, you know what, when I was a teenager, I think she was in Sea Org, actually. She reveals that she used to steal hamburger because she didn't have enough to eat.
Oh.
And she was starving, and so she did steal hamburgers for about a 2 or 3 month period. And I think she said some pastries or something. And so the church said, well, you've got to admit this, you've got to get it in writing, and then you have to reimburse the church. And we would suggest
$40,000.
$40,000? $40,000. She paid it.
What?
Yep, she paid it.
Oh, man.
And then things start to go south for her in the Church of Scientology when one of her best friends in the world who's left the church and she's not supposed to ever talk to this person. She's an SP, a suppressive person.
Okay.
They love these labels. They just love them.
Oh, yeah. They sure do. They love
it. Anytime you read a book by anyone who's been in Scientology, you're just inundated with these things.
The acronyms going, up the ass.
Oh,
yeah.
God, what does that one mean again? Damn
yeah.
It. Her girlfriend is calling her, and she's like, you know, what's it about? And she's like, oh, I need a favor. I need you to talk to my brother, Stefan. He's having some terrible problems in the church. And Leah's like, you know, the minute I talk to him, it's going to cause me problems, and there's nothing I can do for him. She's just begging him to. And so she's like, well, what's going on? And it turns out he was upset because his wife worked for David Miscavige, and she worked these ridiculous hours. I mean, like 80-hour weeks.
Oh.
Never got to see her. You know, they were apart for endless periods. And he's like, I want my wife back. You know, my marriage is everything to me. This is not what I signed up for. And so he's been punished for complaining about this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been sent off to, you know, some ranch where they have treated like garbage. And they're supposed to, They dress in black. They run everywhere. Everything they do, every errand or work they do, they run.
Yeah.
They're forced to run. And they're not supposed to speak unless they're spoken to. I mean, whoever heard of such a dumb... This is a church, by the way.
Wow. Oh, my God.
So he's suffering this indignity. Meanwhile, she's still working these ridiculous hours for David Miscavige. And eventually, he just says, well, I'm leaving the church. And so they said, okay, well, you just got to sign this document. We'll give you $25,000, and you will agree to never contact another Scientologist again, including your wife.
Including your wife?
Including your wife, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Now, his wife also wants to see him. She misses him terribly. She's dedicated her life to the Church of Scientology. She's worked these insane hours for David Miscavige. In the end, Leah Remini says, I can't do anything. There's nothing I can do about it. What am I supposed to do, complain to David Miscavige? That'll just get me in more trouble. She ends up calling her mentor or her handler, whatever they call him, who says, oh, you're in trouble. You got to report this. You got to fill out an SAE report or whatever it is for contacting, being in contact with a person that's an SP. So she's in trouble for being in contact with an SP person and also for discuss. Anyway, it's a long story.
Oh.
The bottom line is this guy signed the contract, wouldn't cash the check because he didn't want to talk to anybody at the Church of Scientology. He just wanted his wife back. So he voided the contract by not cashing the check. And I don't know what happened to this couple. But anyway, moving along to this wonderful Church of Scientology and Leah Remini's experience. She says, as a celebrity Scientologist, you're expected to be an example not only the outside world but also other Scientologists. Moving up on the bridge is important in setting an example for the group. But she's at OT. She's at OT6, so she's getting close. Oh, by the way, when they tell you the big secret about the, what's the big secret of the Church in Scientology that aliens 75 million years ago?
Oh yeah, that they came here from other planets and came out of the volcanoes and. Oh, God, what was it there? But basically, there were aliens that emerged from these volcanoes and took over the planet and cleansed everybody and all this shit.
Well, the reason that you're not supposed to reveal that to anyone, of course, is because it's so ridiculous.
Story is so stupid, yeah.
But the reason the church says you're not supposed to give up that information is because it could kill someone. Shock. They're not ready for it when they're in OT3 or OT2.
Yeah.
You know, this information is much too much for them to handle. So
yeah,
in light of the fact that it could kill them, they could have a stroke or a heart attack. You're never to reveal this to anyone.
Yeah, it'll kill the movement is what it'll do.
So, anyway, she says the church is relentless when it comes to fundraising and soliciting. The plea is always a variation on the same refrain. You're a celebrity. You've got to step up because if you do it, people who are not celebrities will contribute as well. So you need to do this to save the planet. I felt a combination of coercion and responsibility. When I heard from the church the causes my money was being put toward, I believed them. They ranged from protecting religious freedom to helping workers who were at Ground Zero after 9/11, which she gave $100,000 to. The New York Rescue Workers Detoxification Project.
Yeah.
$100,000 to sponsor those first responders and fundraised on the cause's behalf for additional donations. As my donations grew, however, so did my questions about where my money actually was going. In the wake of Hurricane Katrina, I gave $50,000 for a special mission of Scientology volunteer ministers to take food, water, and supplies to the hurricane victims in New Orleans. This was spearheaded by Kirstie Alley. When I asked
Kirstie Alley, I forgot about her.
When I asked to see some kind of evidence the actual supplies were handed out, however, I was given the runaround. Even though I knew church officials thought I was a pain in the ass because I complained all the time, I said, just give me a picture of somebody from Scientology volunteer ministers handing out a fucking bottle in New Orleans, not a booklet about our beliefs. Because they always would whenever she suggested that, you know, I just would like to see what they're doing. It's my money, after all. They would give her some kind of church pamphlet, like, look, you should be thinking about this stuff. What your money's doing, bitch.
Start reading about the Thegans and shut the fuck up.
Yeah, exactly. Shut the fuck up is what she said. Then she agreed to help open the Inglewood Org in the neighborhood southwest of downtown L.A. They wanted, once again, $100,000 to get the basic books needed for the org to be considered a church. But I have my own set of stipulations I made very clear. I demanded we create a children's center because mothers can't go on course for 2.5 hours and stick their kids in some bullshit nursery. Let's open them. I love the way she talks.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's open them a center that's wonderful for the kids so a mom can feel like she did something good for herself and took care of her child at the same time. You want my name? You want my help? That's what I'd love to put my name on. So they had a follow-up meeting to discuss the Inglewood Org's opening slated for Thanksgiving. The team presented me with its plan to meet the community's need. And of course, this child center is the whole thing to her. And she says, we've come up with this. We're handing out turkeys with A Way to Happiness book. from the Church of Scientology.
Wait, happened? Yeah.
She says, what do you mean? First of all, you think anybody needs your fucking turkeys? That's condescending. But on top of that, you have the balls to stuff it with the way to happiness? The entire room went quiet. I knew they were shocked, not only by how I was talking to them, but also because I thought their idea was terrible. In turn, I was angry, not only because their idea was shitty, but also because they didn't know it was a shitty idea. And I had a better idea, and they didn't care what my idea was. I'm out, I said. In the aftermath of that meeting, the group working on the new org begged me to go to the opening. David Miscavige personally requested I be there, and there'd be hell to pay for everyone if I didn't show up. But they wouldn't back down on the turkey booklet plan, so I compromised. I agreed to attend, but I would only sit there. I'm not speaking because I don't want to be part of this org. They picked me up at my house probably just to make sure I went. So she just sat there. She didn't speak. She was just a celebrity sitting on the panel. So, church always needed money for something. Nearly every day when I came out of session at the Celebrity Center, there was a member of the International Association of Scientologists waiting for me in the parking lot. According to the official literature, the purpose of this group is to unite, advance, support, and protect the Scientology religion, i.e. raise money. Ask people for money. The IS rep waiting for me in the parking lot would say, can we talk for a second? My heart would sink. Did I care about mankind? Did I care about the state of the planet? Of course I did, but it was just money. All they want was money. And as LRH says, you can always make more money. As I said, it was relentless. I'll never forget how the IS representative banged on my kitchen table saying, do you see this? Do you see this? She had brought some anti-Semitic propaganda used in Nazi Germany that depicted Jews with large hooked noses and a caption that read, the Jews identified by their greedy long noses. According to this IAS rep.
Long noses.
Yes. According to this IAS rep, they were using the very same propaganda against Scientologists. Do you see this? This is what's going on in Germany right now. They're making Scientologists wear armbands. You're Jewish. How could you let this happen? I couldn't let this happen or any other of these crisis IAS brought to my attention. So I kept giving and giving and giving. It was after I made a single donation of $1 million to the IAS that I first saw Tom Cruise in the president's office. The mere fact that I was fit to be in Tom's presence was a huge compliment. He wasn't just an A-list movie star, but a pillar of the church.
And you talk about a big nose. Tom Cruise has a huge schnoz on him.
He does. Usually when Tom came to the CC building, the building was locked down, and other celebrities who used the president's office had to come and go by the other entrance. In other words, they'd flush the building out of everyone when Tom Cruise entered. When this happened, I would sit in the courtyard of the waiting room, but on this particular day, my handler, Shane, met me in my car before I entered the office and say, I want you to know that Mr. Cruise is here, but it's fine for you to walk through if you'd like. Ooh!
Wow.
I'd met Tom at public events, but here I wasn't quite sure how to proceed. I asked if I should pretend I didn't see him. I honestly didn't know how to act. Tom was already in the room, was on the phone. He gestured for me to sit down. Oh, my gosh, she's persona grata, apparently. So then, not long after that day when I first met Tom, I began to be invited to events and get-togethers involving Tom by his church liaison, Tommy Davis, who wasn't just any Sea Org member, but from a prominent family within the church. His mother was Ann Archer, the actress from...
Yes.
Boiled the Bunny Rabbit. The movie where Michael Douglas fools around and Glenn Close grows crazy on him.
Oh.
With Glenn Close and she goes turns into a nutcase. What's that movie, damn it?
Oh, I know the movie. It's a great movie. Oh, shit.
I'm going out of my mind. Just bring up her, just bring up her IMDb and I'll tell you what it is.
Oh, my God.
It's 1988 or 89.
I totally know the movie.
Fatal Attraction. Fatal Attraction.
There you go. God damn it.
Lordy, lordy.
Fatal Attraction. Duh.
Anyway,
Jeez.
Tom's handler is Tommy Davis, who's Ann Archer's son. And so he's this big, prominent Scientologist from this prominent family, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Because of my record, I was approved for Tom's entourage, a small group of heavily contributing with the program Scientologists that included... she mentions all these fairly well-known actors and actresses and rich people. And then she says, noticeably absent from the chosen few were Kirstie Alley and John Travolta. I'd heard that Tom didn't like them. But along with this honor comes various responsibilities once you're approved for Tom's entourage. I mean, can you believe there's actually a group that approves Tom who can be in his presence in the Church of Scientology?
Isn't that warped?
It's really fucked up.
But the problem is, Cruise loved that too.
Oh yeah, no, he did. Oh, he's God. So in on all
his
this stuff.
His head is so big, and being the little man that he is, We talked about this the other day, that little man syndrome. No doubt that that is wildly alive within him.
Oh, he and the head of the church, David Miscavige, they're both like 5'1",
that's
four
right.
foot six or
Absolutely.
Something.
Absolutely.
And they've got the Napoleon thing.
There's no question about that.
So Leah points out how you can't say no to Tom Cruise and just well, pain in the ass can be like she's just at home relaxing. She's 7 months pregnant. She's very tired. She's having some problems, complications and such. And she and her husband, Angelo, get a phone call. And they want her and Angelo to come over to Tom Cruise's. I guess he's on site. And they want him to come over. And they want them, because they salsa dance.
Oh, that, yeah.
He wants to learn the salsa. And someone said, oh, Leah and Angelo know how to salsa. So they need to drop everything and come over right away. And she says, you know, I'm not feeling well. I'm 7 months pregnant.
This is crazy.
And they said, I'm not the one calling you to come over and do this. Tom is the one calling. Tom needs a favor. So anyway, she realizes, oh, okay, I guess I have to go. So she says, in addition to Tommy Davis, Ann Archer's son, the handler who's there, there was Jessica Freshbach, another Sea Org member from an extremely powerful Scientology family. In the 80s, her father, Joe, built a $1 billion hedge fund business with his brothers by aggressively shorting stocks. They gave tons of money to the Church of Scientology, of course. But the most unexpected guest I saw in the living room with Tom Cruise at night was actress Katie Holmes. I didn't even know they were dating. But I quickly got the picture since he couldn't keep his hands off her. What I didn't understand was, why are Tommy and Jessica here, these Scientologists? Jessica's the woman that was following Katie Holmes everywhere. Remember that one?
Yeah, I do. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. A shadow everywhere. In fact, it was really eerie.
Yeah, it was freaky. She would tell her how to answer questions
man.
And stuff in
it
interviews.
Was creepy, man. You'd see this chick in the shadows just everywhere she went. There was that chick standing there.
So did Jessica and Tommy want to learn to salsa, too? I felt uncomfortable as Angelo started to go through a few moves with Tom as if these high-ranking Sea Org members were sitting there to supervise.
Why don't they just go on Dancing with the Stars, you know?
They certainly weren't they certainly weren't reining Tom in as he was manhandling Katie, dipping her in a forceful way and making out with her. You guys might want to get a room because we haven't even started yet, I joked.
Get
in response, I got a sharp look from Tommy and Jessica, very unapproving. From that point, I was invited to Tom's compound for dinner. And almost every time we went over there, Tommy and Jessica were also there. So Tom Cruise is not allowed to be alone with Katie Holmes for some reason. These other Scientologists have to be there.
Wow.
When I got Jessica alone, I asked her, what are you doing here? She says, I'm on post. We're having dinner. What job are you doing? I don't get your purpose here. I work for the Celebrity Center, she said, which is hard for me to believe given I was already at the Celebrity Center almost every day and I hardly ever seen her there. She also didn't answer my question. What are they doing there? They're off. Tommy and Jessica's off-putting presence added to the weird feeling we got at Tom's house. It was hard to place, but there was an energy in the air like we were being watched. As the dinners continued, we spent more time with Tom. I came to think of him as a big kid with a loud laugh, high energy, goofy ideas of fun. Like when he invited some Scientologists over and a few other celebs like Will Smith's wife, Jada Pinkett Smith, to his house and announced that he wanted to play hide and seek. Hide and seek. At first, I thought he was joking, but no, he literally wanted to play hide and seek.
I'm going to play hide and seek when there's cameras every 3 feet.
In what was probably close to a 7,000 square foot house on almost 3 acres of secluded land.
Yeah, with cameras every 12 inches.
I can't play, Tom. I'm wearing high heels. Well, good, Tom said with a signature grin. You're it. With that, he tagged me and ran to hide.
Oh, what a 2-year-old. Oh, my God. What an asshole.
I pulled my husband aside in a quieter voice. I whispered, Angela, you're going to go ahead and do this because I'm not doing it. I'm not playing a fucking game of hide and seek in 5-inch stilettos, okay? People were terrified of offending Tom, and not without reason. Once when Angelo and I were over, Tom decided he wanted to make cookies. He walked into the kitchen where a bunch of prepackaged cookie dough had already been prepared and was sitting on the counter, a perfect loaf ready for cutting and baking. Tom was looking for flour and other ingredients and must not have seen the cookie dough, and he instantly got angry. Guys, where's the cookie stuff? He said, furrowing his brow. His assistants come running in, waiting to explain it was right there on a nearby counter. But all one of them could say was, Tom, they both grew more flustered as Tom got angry. God damn it! Looking at the dough sitting on a cutting board, obvious to all of us except Tom, I wish his assistants would say, hey, the stuff is right under your nose, dumbass. But she didn't. She couldn't. Instead, Katie whispered something to Tom, who repeated, can I just get the stuff for the cookies, guys? Although his voice was lower, there was still a seething quality to his request that made his assistant more flustered. He seemed like a child who'd never been told no. Well, of course, he never was told no.
No, ever, never.
Get in the fucking present time is what you need to do, he then screamed at his assistant. Get in the fucking present time. This is Scientology lingo, by the way.
Oh, my God. It's just weird.
As he lit into her, I thought about the time a friend had mentioned to me that she witnessed him taking his assistant to task for giving him a chipped coffee mug. You serve me tea in a chipped mug? Do you know who gets served with a mug that's chipped? Fucking DBs, he said, using the initials for degraded being, a term in Scientology that means degraded spiritual being.
Oh, man. See, and that's a big problem because, you know, the whole spirit thing to that.
Well, like, the idea that Tom Cruise thinks you should look around for a chipped mug to serve to a DB.
Yeah. Well, like degraded you said, being. In the beginning, you know, that 75 million years ago thing.
Yeah.
When these thetans and everything came along. And those thetans, by the way, were considered immortal spirits. And so these spirits of these aliens had the ability to adhere to humans. And that could cause great spiritual harm. And then you're off to the races with all kinds of trouble. So this is a big deal. I mean, if you nick the spirit, holy shit. What a whacked out. How did this thing ever get this far?
I know.
Oh, my God. And how could Cruise be so stupid? Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So let's see. Oh, the degraded beings. We just got that.
Degraded beings. Yeah, the spirits.
Still not noticing the log of pre-made dough on the counter, Tom raised his hand above his head. LRH is here, he said, then lowered his hand to his chin and said, and Dave and I are here. Then with his hand down his waist, he said, and you are here. What? I've seen celebrities myself included treat people or staff poorly, but this is on another level. The whole scene was so painful to watch, I had to step in. Oh, wait, I said, as if I had just discovered something. Tom, is this it? He looked at the dough, the assistant looked at him, and I was looking at both of them, all of us incredulous. Oh, thanks. And that was it. Not another word. It was one thing to act like an overgrown child in his own home, but when Tom had his infamous Oprah incident, I picked up the phone and called Shane. I wonder what they were going to do about Tom, who proclaimed his love for Katie Holmes by jumping on the daytime host's couch in a move that creeped out most of America. His behavior reflected badly on Scientology and me. Leah, he's just very uptone, Shane said, the term used for high on Scientology's emotional tone scale. Tom and the church had become a laughingstock, and we're going to call it uptone. Meanwhile, ever since my first time at Tom's house, I've been questioning why there were Sea Org members constantly hovering around. I had my own theory. It was to make sure nothing upset Tom, and if it did, to immediately report it to the church, specifically to David Miscavige, the head of the church.
Ooh.
I know.
Oh, boy.
Oh, this is just incredible. I mean, this goes on and on and on. She just, Tom Cruise is about 40 pages of this book. But, there's a few more here we have to read. They're just too good. I certainly didn't think he and Katie deserved the scrutiny they underwent from the press after their daughter was born in the spring of 2006. Because the first pictures of Suri didn't appear until she was almost 5 months old, there was wild speculation about whether she existed and what this mystery baby was like. And, well, she talks about how everywhere she goes, because she's Scientologist, people ask her, have you seen Suri? Ryan Seacrest asked her at the Academy Awards.
Yeah.
So, Leah, this is an exciting time, I said. Yes, it is, Ryan. We heard you've seen Suri. I didn't see that coming. You know, that's what's also big news, too. Kevin James is nominated for an Emmy for the first time in the history of the show. He gave me this look like I had an attitude, which, of course, I did, but that was only the start of it. Every single fucking interview in that broiling red carpet was about that stupid baby. What does Suri look like? We know you've seen her. Well, you know what Tom and Katie look like? That's what the baby looks like. This chick is really pretty funny, I have to admit. Then she's told that Tom and Katie have some big news, and they call this group together. He's going to make an announcement, and they know exactly what it is. We're getting married. We want you guys to come. I was excited for them, but I wanted to prove I was theta, not a DB or low tone, that I could really be happy in uptone. So I started jumping up and down. Tom, who seemed pleased with my reaction, then asked if we wanted to invite our friends, Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony, to the wedding. Don't you think you guys should invite him? It's your wedding. Well, we don't know them, Katie said. Right, I thought, exactly my point. And you want to invite them to your wedding. Although I wondered why they wanted people they didn't know well enough to invite to their wedding. At their wedding, I agreed to ask Jennifer and Mark. This wasn't the first time I invited them to hang out with Tom and Katie. The couple had asked me to bring Mark and Jennifer over for dinner previously, although I wasn't sure why. Katie wanted to meet Jen. I just assumed she was a big fan of J-Lo. Well, of course, they want to bring him into the Church of Scientology. For some reason, they think J-Lo is, I don't know, dumb enough or gullible enough to join the Church of Scientology?
Probably, yeah. I mean,
wouldn't that be insulting if they thought you were a good target for the church?
It would be, for those reasons. It really would be.
So anyway, she calls J-Lo. This is a funny thing. Hey, you want to go to Italy? For what? What are you talking about? Tom and Katie's wedding. I'm invited? Are there invitations coming? It's funny. She's such a huge star, and she's so used to having her ass kissed. It doesn't even faze her that she doesn't even know these people, and she's invited to their wedding. Yeah, they're chartering a jet for everybody. Let me ask Mark, but why not? So anyway, Leah's happy because she's friends with J-Lo, and you know they're going together, and I guess J-Lo's happy because I don't know why J-Lo's happy. I don't think I'd want to go.
Put something in her drink.
She's really surprised when she gets on this charter jet. Can you believe that? They charter a jet to take their celebrity friends from the Church of Scientology over to Italy? It's pretty wild.
God dang, man.
You know what's even wilder?
Holy
When the wedding is over, I know I'm jumping way ahead here, but when the wedding is over and they've got the charter jet to take all the important people home, a number of the celebrities charter their own jet home because they decide they want to leave early.
Yeah.
So, I mean, can you imagine the cost involved in chartering a jet at the last minute like that? I mean, how cool is that, though, to be able to do that? Oh, you know what? Tom and Katie's jet, they're leaving at 6. I want to be home by noon today, so I think I'll charter a jet tomorrow morning. Unreal.
Oh, my God, man. How surreal, really.
She's really shocked on the charter jet, by the way, to find that Brooke Shields is on the jet because she'd gotten into that thing with Tom Cruise about postpartum. And she had defended Tom, too, to Entertainment Tonight. She acknowledges that she said something. She said a few things she shouldn't have said, but Brooke is perfectly fine with her, and they have a friendly conversation. And Brooke is so fine with Tom Cruise that she's going to his wedding. How could you be friends with Tom Cruise after that stupid exchange over postpartum depression when Tom said she should have taken vitamins and exercised and she was taking medication, which is what every woman, I think, who is suffering from postpartum gets? Anyway, Jessica Fleshback and Tommy Davis, the Sea Org members who had become constant fixtures at Tom and Katie's house in L.A., were in Italy with their respective spouses and without their respective spouses and had their hands all over each other at a restaurant, a major taboo. Sea Org members are absolutely forbidden from touching members of the opposite sex apart from their spouses. So anyway, Leah's kind of collecting these misbehaviors.
Right.
But she ends up being the biggest misbehavior of all because she's constantly being asked to, they're trying to separate her from J-Lo. Constantly, you know, to go to the wedding, for example, they're texting her, hey, get down here. It's time to leave. I'm going with Mark and Jessica or J-Lo because they've come and kind of as their guests. I mean, they're Tom's guests, but they're coming because Leah invited them. So they want to ride together with her. And then they get pissed at Leah because she insists on riding with J-Lo, but they want her to leave earlier and they want someone else to ride with Jessica because they want to push the church down her throat. Same thing at the reception. They have J-Lo at a different table, and J-Lo's like, why am I at this table with people I don't know? I want to sit with you guys. So Leah has to ask the wedding planner, you know, can you put me with J-Lo? She doesn't know anybody. So anyway, the Church of Scientology ends up furious with Leah over all this. And in fact, when she gets to the reception line, Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes snub her. They snub Leah and her husband. Completely just blow her off. They move on and they give J-Lo a big hug and Mark Anthony a big hug because they're pissed because they haven't gone with the program and separated themselves and let the Church of Scientology work their magic on J-Lo and Mark Anthony.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, snubbed in the line.
Oh, snubbed.
Then Leah starts to pick up on the fact that she's in big trouble with the church. So she's kind of I mean, this is sort of in her nature. She decides that, well, I might as well go ahead and make some real trouble if there's trouble. And she notices that David Miscavige's wife, there's been a lot of speculation as to where's Shelley Miscavige? Why is she never seen anymore? And word is that she did something wrong. She said something to David that he didn't like, and she's been shipped off to one of these misbehavior locations.
Yeah, and God knows what's going to happen there behind closed doors.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
She's cleaning stuff with a toothbrush for the rest of her life.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We heard all about that with those flip-flops that you check in and get your flip-flops.
Yep.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's a whole thing there to break you down.
So she is, what was I just talking about? Oh, she asks someone where Shelley Miscavige is big mistake. She actually, she's in a group setting. She says, anybody know where Shelly Miscavige is? And people are like looking at her like, no, don't say that again. And she said, does anyone know where she is? And she starts addressing people. Do you know where Shelly Miscavige is? And finally someone comes over and says, Leah, you're not at a level where you can say something like that. In other words, I guess if you're OT7, maybe you could speculate on where David Miscavige's wife is, but not at an OT6 level.
Yeah. An OT6. And I think 7 was the absolute highest, I think.
So anyway, she's in deep shit, and she knows it, and she's causing problems. Anyway, after the wedding is over, well, first of all, I want to mention this. She's riding back to the hotel with J-Lo. It's about, you know, an hour drive, I guess. And when they're about 45 minutes away from the wedding, someone calls her phone and says, Leah, what's going on? Where are you? And she said that she left when most of the A-listers left.
Yeah.
She said, Tom wants you guys to be here. They're dancing and they've got some more food. You know, like breakfast is being brought in.
Oh,
she's like,
God.
Well, we're tired. We're ready to go. And she said,
God,
he really wants J-Lo to be here. And
what
she says,
drag.
Says, J-Lo's tired. We left 45 minutes ago. And so she says, well, can I talk to J-Lo? And so she says, J-Lo, Tom wants you to be here. And she says, I left 45 minutes ago. We're tired, honey. I'm done. And they're like, okay.
Can't you just picture it? Oh,
J-Lo doesn't realize what a horrible, you know, what a misdeed this is.
Yeah, right.
Turn down Tom Cruise.
Right. You just don't do that.
So anyway, she ends up on... Leah ends up, and then when they get back to the hotel, when she goes to the room with J-Lo to say goodnight, you know, they walk in, they go to the rooms, as you know, they're in, I think, adjoining rooms or the next rooms to each other. Says, yeah, goodnight, J-Lo, see you, bye-bye. Goes into her room, womp. Anyway, she hears the door, knocks on the door like 2 seconds after she's in her room. Someone from Scientology is knocking on J-Lo's door because Tom is coming back to get some fireworks, and they want J-Lo and Mark to come.
Oh, God.
Of course, Leah is not invited. So they wait. They literally have someone following them. So, you know, let us know when J-Lo is separated from Leah so we can knock on her door. How weird. Anyway, she ends up on a shuttle to the airport with Tom Cruise's kids.
Yeah.
The two adopted kids. And Leah, again, you know, she's causing problems. She knows she is, but she can't help herself. She said, I always wondered why they didn't have a relationship with Nicole Kidman, who I thought was delightful. But I could never ask them because I never saw them. But here they are. Yeah. We're driving to the airport alone with them. I had my chance. Hey, guys, how's your mom? Do you see her a lot? Not if I have a choice, Bella said. Our mom is a fucking SP.
Oh.
This is like a 16-year-old girl. My mom is a fucking SP.
Oh, my God. And, of course, never mind that Nicole Kidman could not stand the Scientology thing. She wanted anything to do with it.
I've never seen her do anything publicly to give her that label. And she is your mom, Bella scoffed and said. Well, she is. She's an SP. Connor looked out the window and wouldn't answer. So then she gets back, and she's told, of course, as soon as she gets back, that she needs to come right down to the Celebrity Center, and they tell her it's nothing, you know, and of course, once she gets there, there's been multiple reports made about her misbehavior at the wedding.
Uh-oh. She's been written up.
Yeah, I was wanted down at Flag earlier than planned. I questioned, is this directive anything to do with what happened at the wedding? If it did, I wasn't going to go. Todd downplayed the request, telling me, it's just a little ethics cycle that I had to do, and then afterwards I could go on to the OT7, no problem.
Can you imagine running into all this kind of bizarreness?
How does anyone stand it? How does anyone put up with this garbage? It just seems insane.
It just seems to me that anybody with half a brain would be just so done with this. You would run into this kind of horseshit once. That would be it. And that would be it. Never again.
It's clearly for weak people, isn't it? Isn't it for people that are weak, who have to be told what to do, who need structure, need to be told every 5 minutes where they go next?
Yeah, I just can't even believe, it's hard to believe how gullible people really can be.
Almost as soon as I arrived, I was routed to ethics, where I was confronted with all the knowledge reports that had been waiting, written about me from the wedding. There were so many, it's hard to know where to begin. I guess I'll start with a plane ride to Italy, where someone I didn't know accused me of being drunk and disorderly, and a plane trip where I didn't touch alcohol.
See, and that's another thing. It's bad enough the religion itself and all the things that go with it, but when they start having all these personal fronts with all these being written up and all of your every moment of your behavior being scrutinized and reported on, and I mean, whoa, that is just creepy and just you would stand there and go like, okay, all of you, fuck off. Get out of here.
I know. How
get
do you
out
stop
here.
Yourself from doing
That's
that?
All I can say to every one of you, fuck you, fuck off, I'm out. I'm out.
So the first knowledge report she's presented with is written by Katie Holmes, in which she refers to Leah's behavior during the wedding weekend as very upsetting. She accused her of disrupting the party, which she claimed was a poor example to others. She went on to say she made the party all about her. This is because I guess she insisted on sitting next to J-Lo at the dinner table.
Oh, my God. All about her. All about her and all the things that she requires.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She was high maintenance.
She concluded the report with a reference to the fact that all this so-called bad behavior disturbed me greatly.
Well, go listen to a tape or something.
I know.
You know? With one of the, one of the guys, that guy over there with the robe on. That guy over there with the Navy captain's hat, sit down with that guy. He'll help you out.
Anyway, she ends up, after all these knowledge reports, and there's reports from everyone under the sun about how horrible she was, and of course the reports all agree with each other. So after weeks and weeks of 12 hours a day and auditing, she's forced to audit. You know, she's got to audit her way out of this misbehavior. They broke me. I retracted almost everything I admitted that I caused a problem at the wedding. Oh, she'd actually accused other people of misbehaving, of trying to separate her from her friend and blah, blah, blah. Well, she retracted all of that because they broke her and admitted that she caused a problem at the wedding. I admitted I shouldn't have asked for, I shouldn't have asked to change seats, that it caused an upset to people at the wedding. I guess that was true. Then, so in this equals that cosmology of Scientology, because I had bad manners, I had to purchase Emily Post books for the library at Flag. I was making up the damage everywhere. I sent gift baskets accompanied by letters of apology to wedding guests like J.J. Abrams, who I was told was very upset. I bought everyone staying in Fort Harrison a Christmas gift. And lastly, I spent $2,000 on framing the invitation and other mementos from the crew's wedding in a picture box for Katie Holmes, which I sent along with a note that said, and this is what she was told to write, "I'm so sorry I destroyed your wedding." Katie responded with a text, "Just handle it with your MAA." That's her, you know, I guess, handler person.
Yeah, whatever. Right. Her overseer.
So
her,
Katie
yeah.
Holmes is basically agreeing with her that she ruined her wedding.
Jeez.
She took away her ability to move up to the next OT level.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So after
That's
spending,
catastrophic there.
After staying at Flag for 4 months, spending $300,000 on auditing, that's what they charged her for the auditing. She required so much auditing to get past these transgressions at the wedding. They charged her. They billed her $300,000.
Billed her. Can you imagine you get a bill in the mail for that?
No, it's absolutely unbelievable. And there's just so much more. I don't even know where to stop, so I'll just stop there. I mean,
oh my God.
Amazing.
Stop at a big bill to straighten all that out, to correct all that. Is going to require $300,000 in effort.
For auditing classes with people who don't have high school degrees, don't have high school diplomas, who are auditing her.
Man.
That world of Tom Cruise has got to be one of the craziest. I mean, I just can't even imagine what goes through that guy's head.
Oh, my.
It's just bizarre. And, you know, he's good at what he does. I got to say, I like most of his movies. I watch him, but I just look at him and I go, what is, I mean, that whole church thing is just so bizarre. It's so insane. And yet, you know, there's a lot of discussion in this book, too, about people she knows who have left the church and how hard it was to leave.
Yeah.
How they stopped them. They were stopped at the gate. They were held up. They called security, blah, blah, blah. How is it that law enforcement has not been brought in these cases?
Oh, I know. Yeah.
For kidnapping. Or, I mean, there's a million things you could, not to mention all the assault cases that there allegedly are, including the president of the church beating the shit out of his father,
mm-hmm.
his own father.
Mm-hmm.
And that 2020 story, the funniest thing in that whole story was when they told 2020 they had some former church members' comments about Ron Miscavige, the father, who's written the book about David, this unflattering book. And so the first guy in there is at a piano, and he's like, yeah, I'm so-and-so, and I write a lot of the music for the Church of Scientology for our traveling show, and I just want to say about Ron is that he's the most unprofessional musician I've ever worked with in my life. Then they start editing real quick edits, you know, oh, he was a horrible musician. The worst trumpet player I've ever seen. Then someone calls him a racist.
Racist.
He's the biggest racist I've ever met.
Of course, racist has to get in there.
The last comment, someone says he's a disgusting pig. These are church-going people, and someone has left their church, and this is the comment that they've decided to come forward with about that person. That's not exactly what you'd expect about from a church.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Since when has a church ever said anything like that about anybody?
He's a disgusting pig.
You would think he would have stopped at racist, but there's no disgusting pig in there.
Ron,
what a choice of words.
And that book should be out any day now. I can't wait.
What a thing to call somebody a disgusting pig.
Yeah, and, you know, he's anything but a disgusting pig. He seems like a pretty regular guy to me. And that's funny seeing pictures of David Miscavige as a kid, because you can tell he's this is a power-hungry, screwed-up kid.
Yeah.
He's running cameras for LRH.
Yeah.
Oh, Ron Hubbard, you know, at age 9, he's a camera operator.
Oh, man. Yeah, see, there's a kid that just can't seem to fit in with the other kids, and it starts taking a toll. And eventually, I'm sure he did this within himself, this idea that one day he's going to get back at everybody for what's happened here. And he's going to rule the planet, you know, and everybody's going to have to bow down to him someday.
Well, I think that's what he's doing, you know, on the highest level that he possibly can do it.
Yeah, which is what all those guys like to do, those guys that end up in these incredible dictatorships with these freaky organizations all these people, you know?
I think he was kind of bullied as a kid because he had asthma and he was a tiny... I mean, he was so small.
Right,
he's still
right.
Small.
That's right, right.
And the first Scientology auditing class he took, he claimed afterwards that his asthma was gone.
Oh, brother.
So they talked him out of his asthma somehow. And that's funny because you mentioned to me...
I remember that,
You felt asthma, that stress makes asthma a lot worse.
It does,
it
does.
Had this freeing effect somehow, something about this church that he liked so much that gave him...
Stress relief.
Yeah, stress relief.
Stress relief, and in so doing, helped his asthma. And I think that's probably true. In fact, I'm sure of it. And so in that respect, it certainly wouldn't make it go away, but it would certainly help it. Many an asthma attack has been brought on by stress, or the stress when things aren't going well creates more stress in and of itself because you're not feeling well, and then it ramps up from there. So, yeah, that's the case. Going back to what you said earlier, too, you know, I'm always amazed at how the police, when you have people that are trying to escape these sorts of organizations, how the cops always sometimes seem like they're just bought and paid for by these outfits. Or at least some of them are. They don't seem to pursue any of these things.
I'm sure the
church seem to own all, you know.
Well, you know, in a place like Clearwater, which isn't that big, the church probably pays a ton in taxes.
Oh,
They probably pay for half the city jobs. So, you know, they don't want to piss off the church, maybe. I don't know.
What a weird town, too, they say. I haven't been to Clearwater lately, but, I mean, when we've heard about Clearwater, some of the people that have escaped this mess and have told us about it, wow, does that sound like a creepy television show, you know, where you go into this town that's really strange, and the buildings look weird, and the people look weird, and everything is weird, and there's cameras everywhere, and because Clearwater is just like all Scientology.
Well, all of it looks weird. I mean, all those plantations people are sent to where they have to work off this whatever they've done. I mean, it's just the most bizarre thing. I don't know how it goes on. I don't know how they're tax exempt. And that thing on 2020 when they showed David Miscavige making the announcement to a church, well, it was a Coliseum full of probably 20,000 people, when he comes through all this fanfare, all these dancers and all these incredible effects, and he emerges to get to the microphone and go, "I've just learned that we have been told by the IRS that we are indeed tax exempt." And this place goes nuts. You think they told every person there they just got $1 million.
Yeah, that's right.
Everyone
goes
insane, and it's just bizarre. It's
oh, my God.
What has happened to these people?
Oh, my God. Yeah, and so people that have escaped, I mean, it's required tremendous amount of thought and planning and action and downright being scared shitless when you decide to execute your plan.
Absolutely.
And
no, they
boy,
are scared
boy,
shitless.
Yeah, count yourself very lucky that the people that have gotten out and then had the balls to write the books about it.
Hey,
it's still out there, though. It's still going, you know.
Just quickly as we wrap up the...